Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Hell yeah. We love talking with Mark Grody about the Bears. He is up at Halas Hall right now. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. All right, Grotes, what do we need to know?
All right, first of all, let's do the injury report, get you up to date on everybody that did and did not practice today, and then some updates on guys that have been out for a little while here. So first, TJ Edwards continues to not practice, hand and hamstring. DJ Moore took the day off today, shoulder. Roma Dunze did not practice because of his ankle. Jaquan Brisker was out due to a back injury. Kevin Byard getting a rest day, same for Grady Jarrett. Tyreek Stevenson missed the practice today due to the shoulder injury, and Jahdae Walker is in concussion protocol right now. I will just say this about those that did not practice. This has become a pattern for the Bears where they are pretty cautious about their guys like DJ Moore, like Roma Dunze, like Kevin Byard, obviously, who I just said is just resting. So I expect that to change drastically tomorrow, but we will wait and see. Limited. Cole Kmet practiced, but on a limited basis because of his back. Dominic Robinson, ankle, and DeAndre Swift was limited because of the hip. Good news is that one of the Bears' best special teams guys, Josh Blackwell, out on the field. Now, even more importantly, some people may have seen some things popping up on Instagram. Jalen Johnson saying some things that made it sound like he may be on the comeback right now. Here is the update on both Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon. According to Ben Johnson, they should be able to get them back at some point at the end of this season, but to be determined on when those clocks will start clicking, as Ben Johnson put it. Johnson also said that he chatted with Jalen Johnson, who is in the building. He is in this building right here. Talked to him in the weight room today, and that Jalen is expected, saying that he is excited, I should say, with where he is, and that he's hopeful that he's going to be out on the practice field in the near future. Those are, again, the words of Ben Johnson. As far as Kyler Gordon is concerned, I guess we could say that the circumstances are similar to what we heard early on. The Bears are still thinking that it'll be short-term IR, which is 4 weeks these days for Kyler Gordon. So I think those are fairly positive updates in terms of those two obviously extraordinarily important players for the Bears, guys.
So the go ahead, Grotes.
No, I was just going to get right into the audio. If you guys got any questions about those dudes.
Yeah, just the one that really concerns me is TJ Edwards. So that's the one Wednesday miss that still jumps out, because you figured if he's on the way back, then hopefully he'd be limited. Any feel for if this is another week without him? The run game defense really hurts without him.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Spiegel. And it's been a weird year for TJ Edwards. I'm like, we just really haven't felt his impact because of injuries this year. I can't call it right now, but I will say this. that they were talking about how they're going to club him up, put the club on his hand. That to me suggests that it's he is closer to being ready than not, because if they're already saying, well, once he plays, he's got to put the club on. Now, they could be talking about that 2 weeks from now, but that suggests to me that, and I cannot guarantee that he's going to play this week, that suggests to me that he's probably pretty close. So we will wait and see, and we'll see what this injury report looks like tomorrow.
All right, so let's hear about the quarterback.
Yeah, so big conversation, guys, today from Caleb Williams and the media out here at Halas Hall about Caleb's ability this year to avoid sacks. He had 38 sacks at this time last year en route to 68. Just 14 sacks this year. And he talked about all that went into that. He gave a lot of credit to the offensive line, gave credit to the coaching staff for hitting, you know, telling him, making sure to get rid of the ball more quickly, all of that. But here's where the conversation got a little bit more complicated, because Ben Johnson has also spoken to Caleb Williams about hanging in the pocket just a tick longer in order to make big plays down the field or in the flats, as opposed to exiting the pocket too soon. So Caleb was asked, how do you train yourself to do that?
Yeah, it's interesting, because you get The whole process is like, let's get the ball out faster. Let's, you know, get through the reads. And, you know, sometimes I get through my reads actually too fast, you know, maybe because of leverage or maybe because, you know, the covers that I'm seeing. And, you know, sometimes you just need to hang on. You know, we got special guys. And so sometimes you need to hang on it and let it rip. And then other times, you know, it's, you know, there was a play that I actually avoided a sack, but I could have thrown a touchdown this past game. And, you know, it's so small things. It's like, you know, just – the big plays right there. I saw it, and you know, I was about to rip it, and I just saw, you know, color flash. He was running right at me, and I tried to get out of it, got out of it, and you know, threw incompletion. You know, it's those things that, you know, the next level, and something that I talk about with coach all the time is, you know, that's the next level is, you know, I do have this ability to get out of stuff, but also there's going to be times where, you know, it's just going to drop back and, you know, let's deliver a ball. And I've done it, you know, every so often or whatever, but, you know, just doing that more often and, you know, just finding the balance is tough, but, you know, that's what we're searching for.
He sounds good. Like that's that specific play that Matt Bowen brought up to us and then Ben brought up yesterday with DJ Moore in the back of the end zone. And yes. And he could have broken contain and then made the throw instead of doing the big scramble all around. I mean, it's not like he's dealing with the criticism as things are going well. Okay. I don't know that means he's going to improve, but it sounds like he's in a good headspace about it.
It's hard. Like this is the tough part for Caleb, because it's pretty clear to me that if they were going to accomplish one thing this year, it was teaching Caleb Williams how to avoid being sacked nearly 70 times in a season. And he knows that he's culpable for a lot of the sacks that occurred last year. So they want him to do that. They want him to get out of there and get out of bounds or throw the ball away. But at the same time, there's that fine line of, can you hang in the pocket just one more second before you eject to avoid those sacks? So I don't think sympathy is the word, but I felt the breadth of how hard that probably is for Caleb Williams or any quarterback. And he talked about it, and I loved what he said. He admitted, Caleb did, that's the next level. That is the next level. Like if we're all following development of Caleb Williams, which we are all doing fastidiously, like that's what it is. And he's telling us, okay, I got some things down, but there are other parts that this is the quarterback telling you that is the next level that I need to accomplish. He knows it, which is heartening, I think, from a coaching perspective and from the quarterback perspective.
I wonder too with Caleb and the way that he works in the pocket and then getting outside and making runs. Like he's really tough, and I know that when it was draft time, we talked a lot about height. We didn't talk, I don't think, enough about weight. Like he's legitimately 230 pounds, and so he's kind of built like an old school running back. I know that there's luck involved in not being taken to the ground, but watching it play out where these guys are trying to get him on the ground and are not being successful is kind of hilarious, which is why I liked when the Bears put out the old-timey video that they put out of him scrambling around like it's Charlie Chaplin or whatever. But it was pretty funny to me. I would love to know what goes into that brilliance, but I'm not even sure you can put it into words.
Yeah, no, it's tough. And look, you're right. Like, he is a thick quarterback. There's no doubt about it. And when you add that elusivity and the fact that I'll tell you what's on my mind when you talk about that, Lawrence. I'm still like baffled at times that there's been at least three or four times this year where, and for various reasons, you know, whether it's the offensive line or Caleb, where they have needed 1 yard and they've done the sneak and it doesn't work. And I always look at somebody like Caleb Williams, like he should be the quintessential sneak quarterback because of what you just said, because of his strength, which is like we don't really talk about that much, but it really is interesting, all the different flavors and possibilities for Caleb and all the stuff that's in it. Like, I could feel it, you know what I mean? Like, all the stuff that's got to be in his head at a moment's notice, in a split second, making these decisions. I think I was reminded today that it's very difficult no matter who you are.
It's a big, big ask what's being asked of him, to be the jazz musician who is learning how to lead the orchestra. He's got to do it for the entire game, though, Mark, not just the end.
By the way, I'm Miles Davis over everybody else. I was listening to you guys yesterday. So that's my, what's that album called? Blue?
Kind of blue.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. My God.
Bill
that
Evans.
Is haunting and beautiful.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a jazz man.
Not necessarily, but I watched I think it's a Netflix documentary on Miles Davis, which I've watched like multiple times now, like about his life and his skills. And so I just kind of really became fascinated by him. So I haven't done my jazz deep dive, but I am fascinated with the life and talent of Miles Davis. But that's probably not what our listeners are as interested in hearing about.
That's not why we called.
That's not why we called. Caleb Williams, we know he's great in the fourth. I've said it. I'm sure you guys have said, hey, how about being great for four quarters? And that came up delicately. And I thought Jason Leisure posed the question really well the way he put it.
I mean, respectfully, just to try to understand better, why can't you do that all the time? Why can't you play like the last 5 minutes the whole game?
I don't know. I think that's something that, you know, we want to get down. And I think it's, not only, you know, just – from my side of it, it's just everybody, you know, understanding, you know, the what we can be on offense. And, you know, we can score fast. We can, you know, march down and score in 13 play drives and things like that. And just being able to do that and be efficient instead of, you know, having, you know, some three and outs or anything like that. We got some special talent on our side of the ball. And then, you know, towards the end of the game, it's time to go win the game. And, you know, you just kind of get into that mode, and like I've said before, you know, defenses have kind of shown you throughout the whole game of, you know, what they've, you know, kind of game plan for you, and so you get into a rhythm, you get into a flow towards the end of the game, and the mindset changes. I would say, just in the sense of, we have no other option at that point.
So, do you think in those last five minutes that, you know, he may be a little faster, a little more decisive, less inhibited, because it's like I said, do or die.
I think anytime somebody goes into the fight or flight mode, and you just kind of start flying, you get into a mode, and you know, you don't feel you know, anything. Like I said, you're flying at that moment, and you got to go do it. And so you go into kind of the survival mode, and I think I wouldn't say that I get faster or you know, I get more decisive, anything like that. I think, you know, it just comes down to, we got to win a ball game, and here we go.
That's when you wonder whether a coach could go to that fast pace and try to simulate that for other parts of the game, whether it's the no huddle or just telling him, just feel like you do right now, like it's the last 5 minutes.
I have a working theory on this.
Okay.
That theory is that late in the game, especially trailing, you know, you're playing with four downs, and it just feels different knowing, you know what, I can take that extra shot downfield because I know that we're playing with an extra down.
It's a good theory, but don't you think a Ben Johnson team is supposed to think that way the whole game?
Yeah, but
like a Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson game.
100%.
To your point.
But if you're playing like in negative territory as you're trying to catch up and you're on, let's say you're on your own 37.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to play four downs, but when you go out there and you're like, I know we're playing four downs. Let it rip.
I just got to ball out and not be worried about situations and preserving. That makes sense, Groats.
I think we're all motivated, too, when you're desperate. Like, just think about it. Like, we all act differently. We all do things a little bit more concisely. We do what we have to do when we're desperate. So I do think that there's something to, and I understand what Caleb is saying, but there's got to be something to it, right? I mean, it's winning time, and this is going to sound like going against the grain here, but you kind of got nothing to lose. Like, at the end, it's like, you got to just do this, man. You got to let whatever you got in the tank at that. It's like a closer coming into a game. You got to let it all out. You got to do what you got to do. It's winning time. So I understood where he was coming from there on that as well. Gentlemen, the Bears will be going up against a gentleman by the name of Justin Jefferson this week.
He's pretty
in
good.
Minnesota. Yeah, he's one of the best. One of the best. And so I wanted to get into the mind of somebody in that Bears locker room about Justin Jefferson and what makes him tick. CD Gardner-Johnson was the one I spoke to about Justin Jefferson.
What separates a great wide receiver like Justin Jefferson from somebody who's just good or average? Because everybody's fast, everybody's athletic. What separates a guy like him?
He knows how to help his team win. He's a productive player, and the more I've seen him on the film and the more I've played against him, there's nothing you really can do besides like try to contain him. It's a dominant player, man. And I just, you know, as a team, we got to do our to keep him in the box and try to do what we can do to contain him.
Why is he great, though? Can you pinpoint it?
Man, he can block, he can catch, he can catch screens, run the ball. He's one of a kind. He's a unicorn.
And he's one of those guys, too, who you can't get that down if he's making plays. Like, you kind of just said it. Like, you got to contain him, right?
You got to do what you got to do. Play with the defense and don't get frustrated.
Now, we got to stop with the unicorn. We have to stop. Not everybody is a unicorn. Justin Jefferson is a great wide receiver. In absolutely no freaking way is he a unicorn. We just saw one in Victor Wembanyama. That's the only unicorn who's been in our sports diet this week. Apologies to Darnell Wright, but he's not one either. I'm Team Tony Wise on this. Let's stop.
And when you consider that if you ask 100 people who the best wide receiver in the league is,
you get 50 different answers.
Well, yeah. I think that most people would say Justin Jefferson.
I'll say Ja'Marr Chase.
Correct.
Yeah.
So therefore,
he's not a unicorn. It's ridiculous. And
he's really great,
though. I'm thinking about a guy that played in the franchise a long time ago, a guy by the name of Randy Moss, who probably was more of a unicorn. And I think of like Megatron Calvin Thomas back in the – wait,
Johnson.
Excuse me. Not the ex-Bears fullback from the 85 Bears. That's more like a unicorn. But
none of them
I understand what he's saying. I mean, Justin Jefferson might be the best.
Harold Carmichael was a unicorn. Okay?
Yeah, he was. Good old number 17.
Oh, thank you for that. So, yeah. Stop. You tell CJ next time you see him to stop.
He does not have a horn. So
yes.
I can confirm.
Disgusting.
He's actually not a unicorn, nor is Darnell
Wright. That broke me. That broke me on the unicorn thing.
You had to stand up.
I did.
And for yourself and for your team in that moment.
And for unicorns. I'm standing up for unicorns.
Is that what you're doing? Yeah. Well, and the other part is the thing that the Bears didn't have to worry about in game one was Jordan Addison.
Uh-huh.
And now Jordan Addison is back. So we'll see where the coverage rolls to with those two guys being on the field.
And he hurt the Bears worse last year than Justin. What, did he have a game where he had 130 or 40 yards, I think? And he and Zacchaeus Gardner-Johnson referred to him as gritty. He's the gritty guy out of those two.
He's a gritty, gritty unicorn.
Yeah, it's a gritty unicorn.
Sorry,
exactly.
I'm still pissed off here. Go ahead, Mark. What about the drops? What about the drops?
Yeah. Let me get you. You're gonna be doing jumping jacks in a second. You're gonna be so pumped up about Olamide Zaccheaus. And unfortunately, I guess he's the spokesperson for what were officially went down to six drops. Zaccheaus certainly wasn't the only guilty party when it came down to it. Ben Johnson said that he thought it was an anomaly, that that's a one-time thing, that ain't going to happen again. So I did ask Olamide Zaccheaus about what Ben Johnson said.
Do you agree with that? And what do you think was going on in that anomaly?
Most definitely. It's just one of those games, you know, things happen, but, you know, we were able to find a way to win that game. So that was the most important part. But it's just getting back to, you know, the routine and then, just knowing that wasn't what we want to put on film.
And I know, like, none of you guys are saying it, but I am asking you, how much of an effect is the cold, the ball on a day like that? Does that play a part in it?
It doesn't matter. Like, at the end of the day, like, our job is to make those plays, and you know that's what we'll do moving forward.
Like even the win, is that something that you have to adjust to and get accustomed to?
I mean, yeah, but like I said, it's like everybody's playing in those conditions, so you just got to find a way to make those plays.
So when you're in the room, the coach
that's a veteran right there,
that,
folks.
Do you guys have your own system of accountability with it?
Yeah, and like we know what we need to do moving forward. Like I said, it's a bad game, especially on my part. But you know, we're just that wasn't us. That's not what we want to put on film.
Our own system of accountability. Were you guys running laps? You know, I wonder. All right, here's my question.
I feel bad for him because he's been really good, and he was good blocking last week too. Drops happen.
Yeah, they do. Last week they were close for the first time all year. 39 snaps for Zacchaeus, 33 snaps for Luther Burden III.
That flips.
Right?
Sunday.
That's what I'm saying. Luther Burden III has more snaps than Alameda Zacchaeus on Sunday. Don't you agree?
I agree.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I think it's been – I don't want to get carried away with Luther Burden because his development, I think has been perfect so far.
That's why I say it's just a flip. It's not – it's 39 to 33.
Yeah.
It's not – you know, 60 to 12.
No.
I got you. Yeah, that would be a normal evolution. Yeah. Yeah.
I looked up Jordan Addison's numbers last year against the Bears.
And?
On 19 targets in the two games, he caught 15 passes for 215 yards and a touchdown.
He was crying, though. Brisker had him crying. Good question from a texter. If a unicorn is a wide receiver, are you allowed to tackle them by the horn? Or is that like a horse collar? Can you grab the hair?
Is the horn inside the helmet?
Great question.
Well,
I would assume this. The helmet has a special shape where the horn is inside a horn shape in the helmet. Right.
Exactly. Yes. Riddell has made a new helmet for the unicorns that exist on the Bears. Yes.
Nuggets and tidbits.
Thank you, Grody.
Oh, man. I think we should try to think about who the next unicorn is going to be. Just a couple things. I know you guys got to get out of here. Jaquan Brisker, like we said, did not practice it because of the shoulder injury. There was some concern, like everybody up in the press box when he got hurt in that game saw his head hit the turf.
Yes.
So everybody was like, oh, man. And so I asked him if that's why he left the game. Like, did the shoulder injury occur on that play? He said yes, which makes me feel better that the head is okay and that has nothing to do with it. And he sounded pretty optimistic. I'm not guaranteeing anything. Optimistic that he would be able to play this upcoming Sunday. The other one, too, is here. Back to CeeDee Gardner-Johnson. I did ask him about the name thing, because every time I call him CeeDee on the air, I get texters trying to correct me. Say, why do you keep calling him CeeDee? Why do you keep calling him CeeDee? So I said, are we still at CeeDee? He said, you can call me any, like CeeDee, CJ, all the C's. He said, the only thing you can't call him is Chauncey, because he says that's his dad. So that's a very important clarification for everybody.
That's fair.
Good to know.
Yeah. Thanks, Groats.
Yep. Yep. See you guys. Bears.
It's Blackhawks Bull season on Chicago Sports Network. Visit subscribe.chsn.com to sign up for your 7-day free trial for all their all access plan. Over 300 live games per year. Chicago Sports Network, your home stream advantage. And by the way, tonight, the Bulls begin their road trip against the Pistons. Pregame coverage starts in about 20 minutes here on The Score in the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network, powered by Heli Forklifts.
So the Pistons have been playing very, very well since the Bulls beat them early on. And Cade Cunningham had, 46 points on 45 shots last time out? That's too many shots.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You want to discuss that?
Well, we could. We could. We got options.
Yeah, we can talk about both things. Maybe. We might be able to fit both things that we wanted to do in there. Mm-hmm. Along with talking about Bulls and learning from Ben.
Yeah, I think the Caleb and Ben thing is an interesting dynamic, which we were talking about off the air. I think we could bring some of that to the air.
Let's do that next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Kenny Mayne. Kenny, as always, this was a delight. Thanks so much for joining us.
Do you have a hard break to go to? Because I got one more thing for you.
Go for it.
Go ahead. We're already late for the hard break, so go ahead.
You know what? Go ahead, run the commercial. I'll tell you guys, and you can pretend to me that it was on the air. Okay. Like, however you want to do it.
No, you go now.
All right, we'll be right back.
Wait, am I still on?
Afternoons on the Score.
You got any tickets laying around? Let me know.
We are giving away a pair of tickets to see OAR with Gavin DeGraw and KT Tunstall at Huntington Bank Pavilion at Northerly Ireland on Sunday, the 6th of September. Tickets are provided by Live Nation. Be caller number 6 right now to 312-540-0670.
So we were talking before the show started today about what Wednesdays are usually like at the Score during football season. And ordinarily it's like, oh, the quarterback's going to talk. Like, let's hear from Mitch or let's hear from Justin Fields. I think that Ben Johnson has done a great job of it having less importance to setting the agenda for the week to hear from the quarterback. And the reason why I say that, Speaks, is that on Sunday, I think Caleb is at his most honest after a game. And it's a lot of fun to listen to him kind of process how the game went. And Ben is a little bit more cautious with his words because he hasn't watched the tape. But on Monday, he usually walks back into that room having watched the tape, and he's giving you real answers to it. So you don't necessarily, not that you would just go out and pound the quarterback, but you don't have to, because Ben's like, okay, here's what we did well, here's where we can get better. And then on Wednesday, it's pretty clear, at least to me, that the quarterback has gotten the answers to the test from the head coach.
By Wednesday, the quarterback sees it the way that the coach wants him to see it. You know, by Wednesday, they've seen it together. They've watched the whole game together. They've talked about it. Caleb today is able to talk about a play the way that Ben talked about the play yesterday, the one where he doesn't throw to DJ from the second platform in the end zone. And we've heard multiple times this year where Caleb will talk about a play on Monday being like, no, that was a good read, right? The interception against Baltimore. That was a good read. And then when he talks on Wednesday, he's like, yeah, no, I shouldn't.
About that play.
Yeah, and that's cool because he's learning and he knows that the coach knows more than him. That's good. And he's bending to what the coach has to say. So it's funny because, like, yeah, I listen to Caleb in pristine detail after the game and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. This is interesting because that's how he's seeing it. And I don't find myself listening to him in the same way on Wednesday because I know that it's been benefited. And that's all right that it's been benefited because Ben is the voice that matters the most. It's exciting though, man. Like, really, when I stop and think about it, and I kind of got there on Sunday, and you know, in the group thread when I said baller or whatever, it's like, and then I felt it on Monday, and I still feel it here today. We got a young raw quarterback with all kinds of tools, being coached by kind of exactly the guy I'd like him to be coached by right now. Maybe I'd feel the same way if it was Kyle Shanahan
or Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell. I want to say Andy Reid, but the Andy Reid thing is a very specific system as well. I actually like what Ben is trying to teach Caleb to do even more than the system that Andy Reid would be trying to teach him. I'd feel like that would have some Matt Nagy feel to it, but maybe Andy would adjust. Andy would probably adjust because he's more knowledgeable. But really, Ben is on a very short list. Maybe those, you know, Sean McVay. Would I feel that good about Sean McVay?
Yeah, you feel good about.
So we're talking about four, maybe five coaches in all of the NFL.
And maybe Cliff.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know what the nature of their relationship is, but maybe Cliff. Because,
Kingsbury? Yeah. I'm not ready to give him that. I'm not, like, he did some good things with Kyler. He obviously did good things in college, and he did good things with Jaden for a year. But you said it yourself, like there's some, they're not good right now. They're not good. So I'm not ready to give Cliff that. But it's just interesting how much less I find myself wanting to pour through every syllable of Caleb on a Wednesday because he's been benefied, and that's overall a good thing.
Benefied.
Yeah, man.
Benefied.
You've been benefied.
You've been pitsnoggled.
That's how the Vikings are going to feel after Sunday. You've been benefied.
Benefied.
We're all benefactors.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. We should keep going with that.
Feed your pets beneful.
This is how Scott Boras becomes a thing, boys.
Well, Tanny, man, that was elite.
It was elite.
Yeah,
work
great job
by
the video team here, but they didn't attach my resume like I wanted them to.
It's out there, right? Yeah, I mean, Taddy was a writer on Later with Carson Daly for 2 years.
He was not, was he? For Alex, for Tanny, for my partner Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support. You show the show every single day. We will do our best to return the favor tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock, Bulls versus Pistons is next here on The Score.
But I got to let you go, Maddie. I'm sorry. I got stuff to do here.
You're good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.